ông nghe lúc.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is November 25. Another just a month to go before Christmas. And in 2025, the city council meeting at City Council Chambers. Our interpreters are Andrew Diella. Thank you. And Jeannie Isimaili. Thank you. That you're going to help us during our meeting. Before we start, let us remember our past friends or family with a moment of silence. Thank you. We don't have any swearing in to do today. The first order of business is the adoption of agenda. Before the motion, we need to add something to the agenda. It is in item number 10. Committee reports. This will be the last item in committee reports that we'll be adding. A D. It's an update from Recreation Committee meeting. That's just added onto the agenda. There will be an oral report, no documents. So with the addition of one to the agenda, we need to pass the agenda, moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tilley. Any questions or comments or requests to add stuff to the agenda? There are none. All those in favor? Everyone unanimously carried. Thank you. Minutes of previous meetings, Planning and Development Committee of the whole meeting. Number 7, the minutes dated October 21, 2025, moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Any comments or questions? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimously carried. Thank you. City Council meeting minutes. Number 15, dated October 28, 2025. We need a motion. Moved by Councillor Kunuk. Seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Any questions or comments? There are none. All those in favor? Everyone agreed. Unanimously carried. Minutes from the Finance Committee of the whole meeting. Number 2. Dated November 12, 2025. We need a motion. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Any questions or comments? There are none. All those in favor? Everyone unanimously approved. Thank you. And declaration of interests. There are none. Delegations. The Iqaluit RCMP detachment. Monthly reports for September and October 2025. Sergeant Blasco, the floor is yours. You may start.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for having me tonight. I'm here to represent the RCMP and report two reports for September and October. For the month of September, the RCMP responded to 926 calls. 138 prisoners were lodged in our cells. At least 342 calls were liquor related, and 36 files where charges were being laid. The members continued to engage with the community in various capacities. Beginning of the school years, the members conducted lockdown drills at the school, participated in the U15 Arctic Games, they distributed stickers, and tried to build positive reports with the students. Members also participated in art and craft shows. Positive feedbacks were received from the trade show that was presented by the RCMP. Members also participated in a Terry Fox run. We also honored the fallen officers by the memorial service, attended the church. Proactive patrols are still on the menu for the RCMP. We conducted proactive patrols around the liquor stores, surrounding businesses. Also, we had proactive bar walks to deter any public intoxication or impaired driving. Food patrols were also conducted around the airports to enhance the safety and security of the people at the airport. The GIS unit was investigating a child luring complaint that resulted into charges being laid against one male individual for impaired driving and sexual assault. The GIS unit executed a search warrant and secured some evidence there that was relative to the investigation. In September, we had our official RCMP Facebook page for Iqaluit RCMP detachment. Now it's up and running and serving the community. So all major events are posted on the Facebook page, and it's specifically dedicated for Iqaluit, not for the whole division. Moving on to October report. The RCMP responded to 1,027 calls in total. 149 prisoners were lodged in cells. From the total calls, about 486 were calls where alcohol was related, or liquor-related offenses, and 22 files where charges were laid. Again, the members of the Iqaluit detachment participated in a various events throughout the community, engaged with the students at the schools, and participated in various groups. During the month of October, we had the luxury to have the RCMP police dog in town, so they attended the school, did a presentation for the students, showcased the way the police dog is working. It's a unique experience to the kids to be close to the police dog and see what that dog can do. Patrols were conducted along the, again, around the liquor store and the high target areas. Members conducted several proactive check stops where charges were laid for impaired driving. During the month of October, Front Counter was busy with criminal record checks, where they conducted over 266 criminal record checks for the public. During the month of October, also, our GIS unit was very busy, along with the RCMP detachment members and the V Division containment team, the police dog, and digital forensic unit from Montreal. Executed 8 search warrants where 10 people were charged for various charges for possession of drugs for trafficking purposes and possession of weapons, prohibited weapons, possession of proceeds of crimes, and so on. We used the police dog to assist us with searching the airport luggage and shipments. They were able to intercept a large shipment of liquor and marijuana at the airport. There was an unrelated search warrant that was executed at the cargo office, where 38 liters of vodka was seized. That was on the way to another community. We continue to build rapport with the elders in the community and the youth throughout our engagements. The NHL alumni game is still happening in March, which we are getting a very good support on that. Corporal McIntyre, he's the lead on that project and is currently working on getting some final preparation for the event. That's everything that I have for the monthly reports. I also end up disclosing some statistics in relation to the liquor for the community for the last for the last 5 years. I'm willing to talk more about that if you guys have any questions. And then also I'll end up providing a quick summary of the ATV patrols that were conducted during the summer. Outlines the dates, times, and the members that were involved in those patrols. Thank you.
Kuyanamik Sergeant Nikolovsky.
Thank you, Sergeant Blasko.
Thank you, Sergeant. I know you didn't present to us last time, so I feel like it was a little tough on your colleague when she came in talking about the specifically like the public drinking and charges under the New Liquor Act for August, and how they dropped to a quarter of what they were before. And I see they did drop again in September, but I'm very happy to see that 38 charges were laid for the month of October. So I do see that effort, and I thank you for putting in the work, because I know it's a high priority for this council and for our community. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Agluka.
Thank you, Sergeant, for the update and the report. Very detailed, which is what I really appreciate. It gives us insight into exactly like the breakdown of some of the updates and new numbers that are dropping, which is great. And that's I commend you and your team for doing that, because it shows exactly the hard work and advocacy that we've been able to do with you guys that has put some hard work into action. And it means a lot that you were able to provide these kinds of numbers tonight, and that we look forward to continue to work with you and advocate with you guys, and we'll put it out there into the public that we're working hard to continue making these numbers go down. Thank you.
More of a comment. Any other questions or comments? I don't believe there are none. Thank you, Sergeant. I'm sorry if I don't pronounce your name correctly. Thank you. There are no awards or recognitions. Statements, councillor statements. Councillor Aloka.
Awa, and good evening, council members and those in the chambers. Happy to see everyone here. It's been a while for me. I've been very, very busy. My statement I'm about to share, it comes from no good faith, good heart, and intent to be as inclusive as possible, but to be as impactful as much as I can as well for the team here within the city of Iqaluit and those that we represent within our city. My statement is on the upcoming item tonight regarding the committee review on the Public Safety Committee. Public safety requires open conversation, transparency, and real involvement from the people who live with these issues every day. That is exactly why the Public Safety Committee exists. It is one of the few spaces where residents, frontline partners, and council come together to speak on the same problems, share perspectives, and push for accountable change. Last month, an internal meeting on public safety around the issue of alcohol in the beer and wine store was held with city officials and Gene officials. As chair of the public safety committee, I was not invited. Were any members of council there? And what came from that internal meeting? We haven't seen or heard of any changes, yet staff are now recommending eliminating the public facing committee into an internal interagency working group. Does this possible working group consist of Inuit within the community? Does it consist of locally elected leaders, most recently our new MLAs? Does this working group consist of frontline workers who experience and witness the hardships of our community? And does this working group include Iqaluit residents who share confidence and willingness to be a part of these important discussions? Replacing a public forum with a working group like this might look efficient, but in reality, it shuts out community voices, especially Inuit voices. Over the past month, I have been a part of important discussions on inclusion and unity. I attended the first ever Inuit Women's Summit in Sisimiut, Kalaallit Nunaat, thanks to the Inuit Circumpolar Council. They gathered Inuit women from across all Inuit Nunaat communities, provided support, and amplified our voices as Inuit women expressing how we constantly face challenges within government when taking on leadership roles, and roles such as mine as the only Inuk woman on council. We discussed the constant struggle to be heard and included on platforms when discussing the realities and truth of our challenges and wanting to work with our community to seek solutions. And last week, I attended the Online and Leadership Conference here in Iqaluit held by the Amautit Nunavut Women's Association. Inuit women from across our territory and within the urban indigenous communities expressed they have repeatedly highlighted how institutions move difficult conversations inward, away from public oversight, and away from those most affected. That pattern harms communities, erodes trust, and excludes Inuit from decisions about their own safety and well-being. Iqaluit is not unique to needing public safety oversight. Every other Canadian capital, from Whitehorse to Yellowknife, and major cities like Edmonton, Toronto, and Winnipeg, maintains public safety committees, boards, and advisory groups. Eliminating ours would be a step backwards. Our city faces real public safety challenges, violent substance use crisis, mental health emergencies, and gaps in response to these challenges. These problems do not improve when the public is shut out. They get worse. The Public Safety Committee provides transparency, accountability, and a clear path for residents to influence the policies that affect their lives. For a city where the majority of residents are Inuit, meaningful Inuit involvement and safety governance is not optional, it's essential. Keeping the committee public-facing protects trust, strengthens collaboration, and ensures that Inuit voices, including those of Inuit women who are speaking out bravely, are not pushed to the margins. I urge Council to maintain the Public Safety Committee and to strengthen, rather than reduce, community involvement in shaping Iqaluit's safety and well-being. Mana.
Any other councillor statements? None. From me, I would like to say last time we had a meeting at Nunavut municipalities. I was appointed again as chair of that board, and I will be chairing that Nunavut municipalities as long as I am able. We will forge ahead with our work, working for Nunavut territory. I think that is it for statements. Steve?
If Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening to Council, and thank you, Councillor, for your comments. I do want to clarify one thing about the Min having a meeting. Councillor gave us a motion to meet with the Deputy Ministers and to meet with the RCMP and Department of Justice on the public drinking and the drinking and driving file. That came from Council, so we're following direction directly from Council, so I just want to clarify that. Thank you.
My name is Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Anyone else? Councillors? Let us continue if there are no more. Defer business, none. Bylaws? 7A, first reading of bylaw number 1025, general plan amendment for West 40 subdivision, GPA, moved by Councillor Tully, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Since this is the first reading and there are no questions or comments, all those in favor? Unanimous, thank you. First reading of bylaw number 1026, zoning bylaw amendment for West 40 subdivision, moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Tully. First reading, no questions or comments. All those in favor? Unanimous, carried, thank you. Bylaw number 1027, property tax reduction bylaw for 1088 Midby Street, moved by Councillor Tully, seconded by Councillor Connock. First reading, no questions or comments. All those in favor? Unanimous, carried, thank you. Second reading of bylaws. Bylaw number 1027, property tax reduction. Bylaw 1088 Big Street. Moved by Councillor Dilley, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Questions, comments to the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous, carried. Thank you. No third reading of bylaws. Old business, none. New business. 9A, request for decision. IFD reverse vending and container recovery program. Bill Williams, my apologies. Floor is yours.
And Council. So the city is looking for direction on potentially establishing a beverage container return program. Specifically around cans, as many of you have known and heard. The government in Nunavut previously, via a contractor, offered a beverage container program in the city that has since ended, resulting in both lost deposits for individuals, but also just increased litter in general. The city is looking to get council support on doing feasibility work on a modern reverse vending system that would offer a more scalable and efficient method for container redemption. These are, if any of you have been to Greenland or into parts of Quebec, they have these machines where you can put the cans in and it gives you your deposit right at the machine. No staffing required as far as the physical machine, and then they come and collect them later on. To move forward, the city requires council approval to develop a business case, detailed costing and feasibility analysis, and then to enter into preliminary negotiations with the government of Nunavut to establish a cost-recovered operating model. There is no budget request. We will be using existing staff capacity for this business case. The options to council is to approve staff to develop a business case, costing and feasibility analysis for a reverse vending and container recovery program, and to begin negotiations with the GN to establish a fully cost-recovered model, defer consideration or decline to pursue the initiative at this time. Benefits from reduces landfill waste and litter by reintroducing the recycling refund pathway, and financial sustainability. The program is designed to operate on a full cost recovery basis, and that would be the only way we would recommend that to council. This restores a valued deposit return mechanism for the public and ensures traceable redemptions and accountable finance reporting. One of the challenges will be having to work in partnership and come up with a program that is acceptable both to the government of Nunavut as well as the city. There is definitely, we anticipate there will be heavy upfront capital costs, which will need both a commitment from the government of Nunavut prior to being able to bring it to council for approval. Understanding the operational complexity better, and then staff's capacity of actually developing and managing that. So staff's recommendation is for council to approve the development of a business case and costing and feasibility analysis for the reverse vending and container recovery program. Happy to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions? Comments? Deputy Mayor Smith.
Well, just, this is fantastic. I'm very excited to see this business case come about. Our town is pretty gross with the cans, especially since the lack of our former recycling facility shut down. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this could work and improve our city. So thank you.
Anybody else? Councillor Stevenson.
And thank you for that. I also mostly just want to express my support. I'm excited that this will happen, should happen, and I hope that we can, as a city, facilitate it happening. I know that the past program was very specifically related to alcoholic beverages containers, and maybe not right off the bat, but I would hope that at some point we could be recycling all aluminum. I don't think that in terms of composition they're any different, a pop can or a beer can, so hopefully at some point we could be diverting all of that waste from our landfill and recycling it as opposed to just the alcohol containers.
Thank you. Councillor Stevenson. Bill.
Thank you, Merrill, and thank you, Councillor Stevenson. And just to clarify, currently the program was very much a recovery program. We're not pitching direct recycling here. My understanding is the government of Nunavut works with a third-party provider outside of it, so we're just looking at a recovery program to try and divert it away from the landfill. On the other side of that, we know that there's a deposit program existing for alcohol containers. We would have to work with the GN. There currently isn't any extended producer legislation in Nunavut. I know there's been some talks of it, if they wanted to engage in that. But our goal, if approved by council, is to come up with a program that would be fully cost recovered from the GN and not put the city in any jeopardy financially. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Does that answer your question, Councillor Stevenson?
Councillor
Agluka.
Thanks for that, Bill. And I was, in fact, in Greenland last month, and I could honestly say it was a very clean place and very well organized when it comes to, you know, a system like this. And I'd look forward to seeing a business case and see what's to come. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Gluka. Anybody, if there are no more questions, we need a motion if someone wants to make a motion. Councillor Agluka moves and seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Any questions about the motion? If there are none, all those in favor? Unanimous. Motion carried. Thank you. And thank you, Bill. And the next item under new business 2026 is coming up soon, and right after Christmas. And Brianna Longworth will talk about the 2026 City Council calendar.
Thank you, Mayor Awa, and good evening, Council. So the City Clerk's Office has prepared a draft of the 2026 City Council calendar, which is in your package, and we're seeking approval from Council to proceed with the proposed schedule. I just wanted to give a couple of notes on the calendar that our office does work to take into account events throughout the year that may impact meetings or availability, including conferences, important community events, and seasons for on-the-land activities, among other things, while meeting departmental needs and the particular scheduling requirements in our procedures bylaw. We're proposing to follow a reduced summer schedule again in 2026 with one regular council meeting per month in June, July, and August, following a successful pilot this past summer. One item to note is that we haven't received the legislative calendar for 2026 at this time based on their recent election. So we have done our best to consider previous year's schedules as their settings do impact our availability for interpreters. So because of this, and as usual throughout the year, there may be some modifications which need to be made, but we feel that this version balances operational needs and capacity at this time. If Council has any questions about the scheduling, I'm happy to answer, and thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. Any questions, Deputy Mayor?
Mayor Awa, and thank you to our admin team for putting this together. It's not the first time I've spoken about this, and it's not the last, I'm sure, either, but I think it plays into a discussion down into item 10 for the Governance and Priorities Committee meeting. One thing I've been an advocate for from the beginning is to have town halls. I think it's a great way for our residents to come out and have their voice heard. I know that my colleague just expressed a lot of concern about the public not being able to speak and have input in our city's public safety, for example, with this the potential result of this upcoming item. So I would once again suggest that if we wanted to get further public impact, because that committee specifically is a lot of, it's not necessarily members of the public, but different kind of groups in town, to have a public committee meeting directly on public safety where members of our community can come and speak to us and, you know, have members of the RCMP, et cetera, there, where residents can come and express their concerns. So I would love to hear anyone else's thoughts on that before maybe making a motion to add something like that to the agenda if there's space, or the calendar if there's space. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Now, I know the meeting dates that we try to accommodate the dates. And I know that sometimes when it's not possible to meet, we cancel meetings. And sometimes we add meetings on dates that we think would be good to have a meeting. Maybe if I ask Brianna, will we be able to amend the calendar following the wishes of council? Like, for example, if we suddenly decide to change February, would we be able to change the meeting dates? The meeting dates.
Thank you, Mayor Awa, for the question. Yes, we can certainly amend the agenda or amend the calendar at later dates, depending on availability, operational needs, things like that. So council can later approve an amended agenda, or we can make those adjustments as things go along with approval of the chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. Deputy Mayor's question. Councillor Agluka.
Thank you, Brianna, for the calendar, providing the calendar. Out of respect for the work that you guys put into, and I want to just openly share this, this calendar is shared ahead of a motion that hasn't been made that Public Safety Committee hasn't even been dissolved yet, and that hasn't been put to the side yet. So this calendar doesn't show Public Safety Committee meetings for 2026. It's assume that this motion would pass. So I'm strongly against that this would be provided. But however, like, not out of respect, again, the work that you guys put into these dates surrounding, you know, other annual events and like the Legislative Assembly, I think it's fair to say that I feel like a calendar like this immediately prior to an item that we're going to be speaking on is a little bit unfair, because it's, you know, anyways, I just feel like it's not something that I would be in favor for, that we do this kind of work before having such motions made. But again, out of respect, I appreciate it and thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gluka. Clerk.
Thank you, Councillor Glucark, and I do apologize for that. This is in advance of that motion or that discussion, as you mentioned. So that was something that was not intentional, to kind of move ahead without having a decision on that. Based on that discussion, if council is amenable to the schedule otherwise, council can certainly advise to include certainly add those meetings in as that oversight was made. We would just need to confirm on our end in terms of that operational availability when those specific dates would fall. But I do apologize that those meetings aren't included in the calendar. Thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. Clerk. Steve, CAO.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to further the comments the city clerk made, and first thank the city clerk and the deputy city clerk. There's a lot of work goes into making these calendars, right down to king tides. So there's a tremendous amount of work that they do, but they are living documents that can be changed at any point in time by council. So to have something or not have something there is not a reflection of what future thoughts would be. We did talk about this in the GP as well, that until the GP is going through all of the committees, and that we may even come into this meeting with a shortened calendar just to get us through the first quarter of 2026. So, but again, there's no assumptions made. I want to be very clear on that, that this is put for what information we have at the time, and there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into it. Council can change the calendar at any point throughout the year that they deem it necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, CIO Steve. Councillor Stevenson.
I guess I'd like to first express my support for Deputy Mayor Smith's idea of town halls. I know that she's raised it multiple times, and yeah, I think in order to formalize the desire that we should add them to the calendar, I think we should find at least 2 days that we can put on the calendar that we are going to hold town halls. And I also think that in light of Councillor Aglukarg's strong or very clear observation of the sort of pre-decision, I think we should move, or I will move to defer this decision on the calendar until the next council meeting, and we can come back with a calendar list that is appropriate to the decision made in the next item, as well as inclusive of at least two town halls. So I make that motion.
Thank you. Councillor Stevenson. Before we get into the motion, I'd like to recognize Councillor Aglukarg and Councillor Nata.
Matnami Arawa for recognizing me again. Thank you, both Councillor Stevenson and Deputy Mayor Smith, for those comments and suggestions. I think those are really strong suggestions. And again, to our clerk, again, I am very respectful of the amount of work that you guys put into these calendars and to the amount of time that you guys put into these meetings. And it was just my clear observation that, you know, this is something that we should be strong about when it comes to having these discussions and setting out, you know, timeframes and timelines to these meetings. And they're very important meetings. And I really do appreciate the work that you guys put into it, really, truly. And again, to Deputy Mayor Smith's suggestion, I think it's really important that we find inclusion and unity within our community and these town hall meetings, community meetings, inclusion into their perspectives and real life experiences within our city. Like, we're representatives of Iqaluit, and I think it's really important that we continue to utilize the amount of time and space that we can provide for Iqaluit to be a part of some of these discussions too. And like 2 days is like, it's a great start. It's a really, really great start to put in some time and effort and work into being there with our, with the residents that we represent every day. And I would also second the motion that Councillor Stevenson had shared. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Aglukarg. And after Councillor Natak speaks, we'll put it to a vote motion. Good evening. Before you were councillors, and the committees had chairman before the public safety committee was dissolved. And I'm no longer in any in those committees. I used to be a chairman when we were in the old council, I guess. I'm thinking that more thought should be put into, I don't understand. And after the committee was dissolved, and people out there didn't hear what the committee has been doing. I'm trying to say even though not everything has been brought back of all the things that we've done, like I used to expect and but didn't say anything. And when we try to hear from the public, they don't come anymore. They didn't come anymore. We used to welcome them warmly in the past at public meetings. We should try and bring back public meetings. And adjust the calendar. And we can pose questions to the public and get their responses. Like, we even invited the public and nobody came. I really missed that. So we should bring back town halls or public meetings and add it to the calendar. It's going to be delayed anyway. like we can meet and figure how we can set things up properly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
When they meet.
Thank you. A comment, Councillor Stevenson. I made a motion seconded by Councillor Alokak. Moved by Councillor Stevenson, seconded by Councillor Alokak to defer the annual calendar motion. We'll see it again in our next agenda. Any other questions? All those in favor? Unanimous. Carried. Thank you. My apologies. Number 10, committee reports. 10A. Governance and Priorities Committee meeting. Councillor Stevenson, Chair.
Before you, you have the Governance and Priorities Committee report. It has two motions included in it. The first motion, committee recommends that council approve, committee recommends and I move that council approve the use of the evaluation framework as presented in the committee for committee evaluations. Those documents are in the package if people haven't seen them.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Questions, comments? All those in favor? Unanimous, carried. Thank you. Councillor Stevenson. Moved by Councillor Stevenson, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Questions, comments? Councillor Tilley? Thank you, Mayor.
In the two, why we would change from a public safety committee to an internal interagency administrative working group. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley. Councillor Stevenson.
For that question. So I think the a general summary of at the committee's discussion would be that there had been feedback. Well, so you can first read the review that's in the package, obviously, and there's lots more detail than I'll get into today. But overall, that there'd been feedback that it was difficult to have outcomes from the public-facing committee, and that many issues that were raised needed working staff-level responses first before they should be coming to a political forum. So it was feeling like it was almost a backwards exercise where you're in the public sphere with political before the work's been done on the bringing the issues forward. So that I'd say would sum up the why. In terms of Councillor Glukark's comments from before, I share some of those concerns. I shared them in the committee meetings as well. I don't like, and I didn't expect that it would be that popular to take places away where elected officials, councillors have access outside of a council meeting to to public opinion and to also changing policy to making, like, so that participation is part of our job that's important. So I anticipated that there'd be some concern about that. I felt some concern about that. But as you can see from the reports, I guess there is some problems with the effectiveness of this committee. And so trying to make the most effective way of actually engaging and changing or making positive change to public safety in this community, it was felt that what's being described would be more effective than what is current.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Is that good, Councillor Tilley? Deputy Mayor Smith?
Oh, and thank you for that summary, Councillor Stevenson. I think you got the most of it. One thing I do want to make sure is clear is that this kind of kind of admin level working group would report directly to council, and council themselves here in this room, we would have public safety discussion items on our agenda, and we would discuss it as a council before giving this committee direction. So it would still, which is kind of what would happen in a roundabout way at the public safety committee anyway. So it still has, it's not just admin and other agencies kind of going rogue. It would report directly to us in this room, and we would provide direction based on the current public safety needs that we see. So just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Councillor Aloka.
The insight onto what the reasons were for turning this into an internal interagency working group. I had the opportunity to hear the recordings of that governance priorities meeting on November 6th, and I heard clearly a lot of the members, the councillors, the people within that committee on what they shared. And, you know, good work starts when you have a committee filled with people wanting to take part and provide solutions. Now, I've only been chair of this specific committee for a year and a half or so. And it was explained in this committee meeting that you guys had that they had met 7 times and 1 single recommendation was provided, and how effective is the committee. Now, I had only been a part of maybe 3 of those, and one of them was canceled. And one was nearly canceled this spring because of no items provided onto the agenda, until I had provided some items, you know, for topics to discuss. And out of those topics, a recommendation was brought forward and some action was taken. Now, when it comes to the committee representatives specifically, it's really important to understand that we need committee members that are willing to take part in these discussions, not show up just because they have to, just because they are part of that entity. An example is like Department of Justice, and someone that is willing to be a part of that open discussion and dialogue when it comes to public safety. Not someone who has to show up just because they are part of Department of Justice. It's a huge part of accountability. It's a huge part of open dialogue, especially when it comes to the residents that we represent every day. And, you know, the good work starts when people are a part of it who want to provide solutions. And solutions come from conversations, whether it's 1 meeting, 2 meeting, 3 meeting, multiple meetings of conversation until we get to a final decision on what direction we know we need to go to. Now, obviously, I'm not in favor of this because there's more that this committee can do, rebuild and rediscover exactly the meaning behind public safety with the community. You know, it's really frustrating to me that even some of those members of that committee are frustrated with the committee itself. And I understand that. They're hard topics. They're hard discussions to have. And, you know, there might be a lot of talk and little action, but that's what happens when we have so many discussions, is that we're discussing what action is best, what works best for the people that we represent. And I'm obviously very passionate about ensuring that the well-being of our community is put into serious consideration when it comes to this committee, hearing them out and providing a space for them to open up, to share their true raw concerns. They are the ones experiencing these harsh realities that Iqlumiut face. And, you know, I understand, I hear everyone's point of view. I read the report, I read the committee review. You know, it's not just about loose dogs and alcohol. It's more than that. It's the well-being, mental health, emotional well-being of Iqlumiut. It's what else we can advocate for from one meeting to the next. Anyways, that's my take on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Aloka. Councillor Natak.
Thank you. I just thought of something I want to say. We have to find people from the public to sit on the committee. I'm one of four councillors. I'm saying that we have to get committee members from the general public. And after it got dissolved, we dissolved it through a motion. And I never heard from the public again. Maybe a few times I heard from the public. But in the past, we would hear more than once a month from the public, and there's nothing now, even though we think about it. We should find a way sometime in the future to see if this is good, what we're doing is good, after the committee got dissolved. I think we have to put more thought into this. So, and have committee members from the general public. I think it would run better like that. That's all I wanted to say, Chairman or Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Natak. Councillor Stevenson.
I think that was a great preface, Simon. Thank you for what I'm going to say, because I was on, and you've been on too, the Public Safety Committee in its older incantation, when it had just members of the public that were interested and applied, and we sifted through them and chose our committee in the way that I think we still do for, say, the Recreation Committee at the moment. I was on that committee for at least 2 years in the mid-teens, and it was frustrating as a committee because there was a lot of passion and there was a lot of care and, you know, people interested in making things better, but there was nobody at the table who had the ability to make the things happen that we wanted to make happen. So it was a lot of talk that didn't end up enacting much more than concerns raised at council and then, you know, maybe talked about at a budget session. I will highlight, without trying to make light of anything, that the one thing that did come out of my time on the Public Safety Committee was the ineffective crosswalk at the hospital that was years of pushing in different committees, but that one included, to finally get that on a council budget and then get it passed. But it's really difficult, or it proved really difficult at that time to make things effective with that type of composition of a committee, which is why council at first discussed dissolving the Public Safety Committee in, like, all the years blur together, but in the 2018-19 time, maybe, and then decided instead to have this type of committee with the appointed members from organizations, because they'd have more ability to enact the changes that we wanted. And I think now what we're seeing from assessing that committee is that those people are feeling like, in a public sphere, that's those issues are hard to address, and it would be easier to address them if it were a working group atmosphere instead of a public atmosphere. We're now getting far down into the weeds of what we should be discussing at a council meeting. This is far more committee-like in terms of the discussion, and maybe, you know, I think Simon was suggesting we think more on it, so maybe we should defer this decision. But I would say that, you know, the different types of allowing for public engagement, they have been tried, but, you know, we should be always trying to find the best way to hear from the public, to engage with the public, and to make our policies, our decisions, and our changes based on what we're learning from them. So if Councillor Glukak has ways or plans that will make that happen, you know, I'm all for supporting it. I think that the town hall's not a solution to this problem, but a solution to an overall problem of public engagement. I think it is one of those things that can be really valuable, will be really valuable. I will also say, just anecdotally or to help the conversation, that, like, you know, in, and again, I would defer to Simon as well, but in my 16, nearly 17 years on this council, I've been on a lot of committees, and some of them, you know, if you took a three-year snapshot, would look really ineffective, and if you did this to them, it would look really bad. And then, you know, the next 3 years, they were very effective and very active, and you know, sometimes that was because of composition, sometimes that was because of who was at the head of them, sometimes it was just luck, I guess. So it's difficult to look at a short period and say this isn't the way to do it. We need to look at it in a longer term fashion, I guess.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Can I make Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Thank you, Councillor Glukak and Natak, for your comments. And I know that Councillor Stephen just said that, you know, town hall isn't the right way to address this, but I think the combination of those things and this working group and council as well, all together, like that public forum, can guide the discussion here and how we prioritize public safety, and then we in this room prioritize that working group on what we want them to work on. So I think that this format really could work well. So I remain in support. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. CAO Steve.
Thank you, Mayor, and thanks to all councils. Great to hear this discussion. I just want to clarify on behalf of the administration that our whole intent in working for the GP committee was to enhance public engagement and to take direction from mayor and council on what items to work on and report back on. We are also doing research across Canada right now on what other municipalities are doing to reach a better level of public engagement versus the current committee structures that some municipalities still use, including this one. What seemed to stick out at us so far, and we will bring this information back to the GP committee and then back to council, is that there are a couple of methods that seem to be working quite well in Canada. And one is a digital engagement, ongoing digital engagement that's set by the parameters of council for specific engagement on a range of topics, not just related to public safety. The second was for committee members and for members of council or even members of the administration team, if council deemed it fit, is to do reach out with all the nonprofit volunteer groups, different agencies that are within the city, to get their feedback directly. And also a mix of what the deputy mayor is asking about, you know, the old-fashioned town hall way of getting engagement. All those things coming back to council gives council far more information from the public input than what the current committee structure is set up to do. So that was the intent, and that is the intent, as far as I know, of the committee, is to keep working towards those things. So it wasn't to silence voices, it was to enhance voices and to find new and modern ways and some of the old tested and tried ways of mixing it together to come up with a new hybrid model for public engagement. So I just want to clarify that on behalf of the administration and what work we've done with the committee to do that research for municipalities across Canada. Thank you.
Councillor Glucka.
Mayor Awa, and thank you everyone for sharing, you know, past experiences, and especially Councillor Stevenson, your history and roles that you've played on council over the years. It's much appreciated. Like, I've known you since I was a teenager, and it means a lot that you bring knowledge to this table, and everybody else does. And knowing that, like, you've seen this committee shuffle maybe once or twice over the years, and that's okay. We don't see the same number of councillors over the course of 4 or 8 years, or in, like, you've been here the longest, I think the longest or so. but with that being said, you share a huge amount of knowledge when it comes to these committees, and, you know, I'm only here a year and a half, almost 2 years in, for the first time. But I don't want to discredit the amount of advocacy and the amount of work that I've always done out before becoming a counselor. You know, being not just passionate but willing to take part and unify a lot of these groups that want to take part in public safety matters. It's really important to share that if it takes having to reshuffle maybe once or twice more before considering dissolving a committee, it's important to exhaust other avenues prior to completely dissolving it. And I would be more keen on seeing a little bit more support from council and admin if, you know, that were the avenue that we could take. Give it a better shot at what can we come up with? Who are the important entities that we want to take, that we want a part of this committee? And like I had shared about, you know, example, like if someone was showing up just because they had to, just because of their role, but, you know, they're not really crazy on sharing input, or like Councillor Stevenson shared, you know, maybe they're afraid or at fear, like being a part of this isn't exactly what, you know, they're really up for, then that means that we need to find those people that are willing to take part in it, open it up to these organizations, who is willing to be openly raw and understanding that we have some problems to solve together, openly and publicly, because we are representatives of Qalumiut, and it's up to us to provide the best knowledge, the best experience. You know, maybe I don't have as much experience as some of my colleagues here, but open dialogue is always going to be the way to go to understand exactly what is the root cause of the work that we're doing. And I want to make sure that I reiterate that, because it's so important to me as a resident myself of Iqaluit, with a growing family, that we do the best work that we could for them, for the next generation, for the next council, for the next committee members. So I would really consider council take that consideration. I'd hope that they can take that consideration, because there's so much more things that we could discuss in this committee. Mana.
Thank you. Councillor Glucka. Councillor Kunuk. I think you'll be the last to speak. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is really good to hear.
we should include the public that we represent more. And what was said earlier about having town halls and public meetings is almost impossible now, although we can try. We can welcome them with committees, with local people involved. Seems to be the best way to have a committee. But then there's the Economic Development Committee that has members of the general public. But there's no representation of the diverse people in Iqaluit. So we should include more other people, if I make sense. So we have to listen to what the people say. And I was glad that someone came in with their views written on paper about housing lots. And they would come back at a later time and give us an update. So if we try to include the general public, I think that's the best way to go, because we represent them anyway. And sometimes when you try to hear from the public as a counselor, they sometimes ignore us. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kunuk. There is a motion to revive the PSC to interagency group. Are those in favor? Three in favor, against? Three against. Were you in favor? We will have to get some more information on the question that Councillor Tully had, what it means. Because of this, the motion did not pass. We will need to get more information about this issue. Thank you. Three against, three for. Okay, to our agenda. We had an addition recreation committee, a verbal Councillor, Deputy Mayor Smith,
it's not here.
My apologies. I'm skipping a couple of items there. I'm sorry. 10B, Finance Committee of the Whole, meeting report. Councillor Shepherd is not here, so Deputy Mayor Smith will be reporting.
Can I go faster? for the 2025 Finance Committee of the Whole Motion Report from meeting number 2 on November 12, 2025. For item 25-05, the committee recommends that Council grant the Islamic Society of Nunavut relief from property tax for the 2023 and 2024 taxation years. I will move on that item.
I pay you Katamir Stevenson, a bit good excited, of course, excited. Pitching a manam shaktuk,
Hey, unanimous. Thank you. My apologies. Deputy Mayor Smith.
25-06, the committee recommends that council approve the 2026 operating budget as presented. So I will move.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Seconded by Councillor Kunuk. Questions, comments to the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous carried. Thank you. Ten C, Planning and Development Committee meeting report. Deputy alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty is not present this evening. Deputy Mayor Smith.
25 Planning and Development Committee of the Whole report from meeting number 8 on November 18th. We have one item that is PD 25-59. The committee recommends that council approve as per the report. I will move.
Seconded by Councillor Stevenson. Questions, comments to the motion? There are none. All those in favor? Unanimous carry. Thank you. We had an addition, 10D Rec Committee, which will be verbal. Councillor Tilly.
And this will probably be a bit more uplifting than tonight's discussions, but it is very, very good. It came from the November 20th Recreation Committee meeting. There's no motion at the committee meeting, so it's all verbal and it's all good. It's more general items on what the Department of Recreation has been doing all year round, and I'll share some general items and some statistics. But my first item on here for you guys to share is that the turf was turf and field approval for summer 2026. And the next item we got a laugh out of was the hot tub is up and running. And the next is about the day camp. So we had the recreation department had over 150 kids registered, and we used both of the AWG and the curling rink. So kids got dropped off over at the AWG and got bussed over for safety reasons. The curling rink was used for multi-sports space during that time. Also during the summer, the renovations were complete at the curling right lobby. Another thing that was added on to the recreation was the lottery system implementation was successful, provided community members for a fair and equitable opportunity to be registered for summer day camp and swimming lessons without the first-come, first-serve approach. Just created a fair opportunity for all. Going to aquatics, comparison of attendance since council waived youth under 18 fees for pool access. So before waiving fees, the date up to October 2024, 1,500 people used the pool. And after the use, after youth fees waived August 5th, don't quite remember who was all here for that, but from October 5th to August 5th to October 2025, 4,000 94 youth used the pool. So this shows almost 3 times increase of pool users since console wave for youth. And continuing on from February 15th to present, the Recreation Department introduced a variety of new swims, including Master Swim, Adult Open Swim, Sensory Friendly Swim, Women Only Swim, Youth and Up Lane Swims, 13 plus, Youth Sports Swim, Lane Swim 12 plus versus restricting to 19 plus with Adult Lane Swim, Saturday and Sunday Aqua Fit, Saturday Gentle Ability Rehab Swim. Recreation also added 2 additional parents and taught swim time slots and variety of longer swim times, public, family, and lane swim. Other variety of different programs, 2 sessions of swimming lessons, winter 2025 with Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and fall 2025 with Saturdays. Junior lifeguard during winter 2025 swimming lessons. They've also had a national lifeguard course and recertification March, a national lifeguard instructor course in March, instructor training course in March, which gives the ability to teach life-saving instructor and swim instructor course, bronze combo course in May, consists of bronze medallion, bronze cross, and standard first aid courses, swim camp for 4 weeks during the summer with combined day camp swims 2 times a week, a quarterly staff in service to enhance skills and keep up with appropriate standards. Another note that was put on here is reopen the hot tub for the first time in years. Offered a variety of free swims to the community, family day during tunic time, Mother's Day, National Indigenous Peoples Day during the Illini Festival, Nunavut Day, and our summer and swim. The recreation also offered a few different events. They had a splash and jam during the Illini Festival on June 20th with a free swim and an awesome DJ setup. They also had their summer splash to end off the summer season on August 24th with games, face painting, temporary tattoos, freezes, and prizes. Going to some stats here. The recreation swimming lesson starts in winter 25 was between January 11th to March 15th. There was a total of 224 participants registered, 99 open spots, 11 participants waitlisted. And in fall 2025, which is currently going, it started on August 18th, 191 total participants registered out of 201 total spots available. Most available are higher levels with no wait lists. 150 participants waitlisted. Please note this could mean one person for several different time slots, people that were registered but also chose multiple time slots. So in total there was 310 total registrants. 78 of the 191 were Kikitani Inuit and received their swimming lessons for free via Kikitani Inuit Association funding. And in total, the Recreation Department have offered 85 different swimming lessons, swimming classes, 48 in winter 2025 and 37 in fall 2025 with a total of 415 participants. Some more statistics here. To date in 2025, the department have had over 34,000 swimmers. It's a significant increase compared to prior years. For example, in 2024, the department had 27,700 and change total of swimmers. In those totals, 3,125 free drop-in passes funded by a Kakatani Inuit Association for Inuit Youth under 30 years old was in May up to May 2025. Close to 5,000 youths have accessed the pool since fees have up to date now. I did a date earlier, but another number statistics here that I shared personally. From August 5 to present, I'm going to say about a few days ago, close to 5,000 youth have accessed the pool since fees have waived. And in other news, for people that are listening in Iqaluit to this meeting, we have the Recreation Department is also going to be setting out a Christmas calendar, which is they are working closely with Joannesi Akumalik again this year. He's going to be the main MC for most of the events that the recreation is going to be putting on. Most of the activities will be hosted at the Kedet Hall starting December 22. And I believe from what I remember, the times are going to be from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., something like that. But the schedules should be out soon for everyone to see. It should be coming out sometime in beginning of September. I apologize. And again, the Recreation Department would like some volunteers, sponsorships, donations are always welcome and appreciate to help make the game successful. That's all I have for now, and I'm very happy of our Recreation Department for always improving the well-being of Iqaluit and to the youth, and I commend the work that they have done, and I will always advocate for the best for youth in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley. That was a verbal update. That was good to hear the statistics and that they will be holding games during the Christmas holidays. I volunteered at some of them, and they were really fun to take part in. Back to our agenda, number 11, correspondence. Iqaluit KYA annual contribution grants and contributions programs. Hagar Illaut Sullivan. Information. Moved by Councillor Tilley, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith to accept the information. No motion. My apologies. Can you see? Yeah, we need to laugh once in a while, even in serious conditions. Thank you for the contribution. This will be very helpful during the Christmas games. Number 12, no in-camera session. 13, adjournment. Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, Councillor Kelly seconds. Unanimous approval of adjournment. Thank you. Thank you, interpreter, translators, Andrew and Jeannie. Have a good evening.